This is MJ. I'm an author, I'm an artist, I'm an analyzer. You can find all my work at MJMuñoz.com. Welcome to Swinging Through Comics, where I talk about comic books and manga and what they mean to me and how good they are and other things. I think it's going to be a fun and wild ride, so why don't you join me as I'm swinging through comics. Fantastic Four, Issue 1, from 1961, November 1st, 1961, supposedly, was written by Stan Lee, and Jack Kirby was the penciler, according to the Marvel website. If I go over to Mike's Amazing World of Comics, I see that the inker credit goes to George Klein, but it still has Stan Lee and Jack Kirby as the writer and the penciler. So, this was 25 pages long. It's funny, it's billed as the first time all four of these characters are seen together, which is true, but it's also inaccurate, and it's much of hype because it's the first time these four characters have been seen at all, as far as I can tell, because I do not believe they have been seen anywhere else. Let's see. Features. Yeah, first appearance. Yeah, it explicitly says here on the website that this is their first appearance of all these people, so that's really funny. And it's interesting because it's this interesting blend of origin story and first adventure for the Fantastic Four, and there's a decent amount of characterization through dialogue. The art is fantastic, and actually, I would say that this debut works so well because in 25 pages, we get a really decent understanding of, or a very start of an understanding of who these characters are, what they're doing, what their motivation is. And we also get to see them on an adventure. So it's like we get origin, we get we get mysterious happenings going on first, then we get an origin story. And in that origin story, they kind of skip ahead and say, all right, yeah, this is what we're going to do. We don't need you to, Ben Grimm actually says something to the effect of, you know, Reed, we don't need you to give us a long speech. We understand that with this great power comes a great need for us to use it responsibly. That's a paraphrase. He doesn't actually say it like that. But he basically says, yeah, now that we have this power, Reed starts and he's going to talk. And Ben says, of course we're going to use it for good. And that's fun. Apparently they make a vow, which it's funny how much stuff we find out in the dialogue, but we don't get exposited to us, which is good, I think. It's very brisk storytelling. The sequential art is amazing. The cover, I don't like the cover that much. There's actually interior art that I like better for the cover. If you look at the shorts that I'm going to do, you'll be able to see it. I'll try to include it in the show notes as well. I'm trying to make my show notes as trim as possible and uncluttered. But anyway, I'll include that. But also, you should just check out the book. You'll see what I'm talking about if you look at the book yourself. There's the cover, then there's this interior art, and there it almost looks like, hey, we need interior art, or we need a cover. Go ahead and do it like this. I don't like that one. Do something else instead. Similar, but different. And then, oh, lo and behold, now we have two pieces of art, and we can use both of them in the story because it's the 1960s, and we're moving fast. You know, we got a lot of comics to write. Anyway, so I think the inking is fantastic. The coloring, which doesn't say who the colorist is. I don't know if that would have been Kirby or Klein because he was inking. Would he have inked both the colors and the black colors? I don't quite know how comics work, so I can't really attest to that. But yeah, like the sequential art was really good. The action and the movement and everything was really good, as it always is with Jack Kirby's work. And because of the silly, I think it's kind of silly, but obviously it works, so it must work. It must be good or valid. The Marvel method of you do the art, I'll do all the word, and we won't talk, which is maddening. To me, I can't believe they did that and they made a successful company based off of that. Which I guess that probably says more about the customers than it does about the company, because if the customers are willing to swallow the comics Stan Lee writing out for you, describing what you're seeing with your own eyes, looking at Jack Kirby's art, and you buy it, then I guess it's fine. But I bought it too, so I guess there's nothing really to criticize about the older fans who made the Fantastic Four a hit, because this thing really does grab you, and it's really fun and exciting and cool, and I do want to see more adventures with this crew, because they have an interesting dynamic. You've got, you know, Johnny and Sue, who are brother and sister, and she's tagging along for the adventure because Reed's her fiancé, and Johnny's tagging along for the adventure because she's his sister, and which is kind of funny. They mention that in the dialogue. It's kind of lampshaded, and then it's ignored. You know, they talk about it, and then it's ignored, which I think is fine because I think that dialogue was enough to serve and just make us feel, okay, well, that's why she's there and that's why he's there. And we understand that, you know, Reed is the one who built the ship and the rocket ship. They want to get into the space before the Russians do. And Ben is the pilot. And it feels like you can feel that there's been a long relationship between all of these people. Obviously, Sue and Johnny grew up together. Ben and Reed have worked together. And it becomes clear through the dialogue that at one point Ben was in love with Susan. And he doesn't understand why she's with this bum, Reed. And he cautions them against going into space. He's saying, we need better shielding on the ship. We know all these things. And it's great. All these things happen on the fly. We find out all this stuff in action scenes. It is a flashback. It is origin story. It is exposition, but it's being done over action scenes. And it's, you know, maybe the dialogue's a little clunky because of that, but the sequential art, you know, makes it work. And also, dialogue in comics is not dialogue in real life. Like, it just, it works because you're able to take it in at your own pace and everything. And because it pairs with the art, especially when it's done so well, like in this, it just doesn't matter that it's, you know, silly that they're talking about these things or talking in this way at this time in the comic book. But yeah, it's, you know, as they're flying in the ship, they're saying stuff about the cosmic radiation that Ben's, you know, not certain that it's going to work. He tries to back out, but Sue emasculates him by saying, like, I didn't think you'd be such a coward. You're going to let the commies beat us, which is hilarious and fun and, like, very of the time. But also, I don't know, it's interesting. There's like, something very interesting in that character dynamic, that relationship, that, like, sex or gender dynamic too. Like, she's calling him out for not being a man, and he says, like, nobody calls me not a man, or, like, nobody says, like, I'm scared or coward or whatever, and he says, like, we're gonna do this. So, like, Reed is being hasty because he, this is the perfect night to make sure it works. I don't know why he's so motivated to beat the Russians into space. I'm missing so much context politically. I guess the idea was probably that we wanted to get into space before the Russians so they couldn't get weapons pointed at us or whatever, and I know. It's all dumb. It's like a pissing contest. Anyway, that's what it feels like to me, you know, growing up with, you know, NASA shooting rockets into space. I thought, why are we wasting money on this? But anyway, that's not for here or there. That's not for now. I mean, so let's move on. But it's interesting because, like, Reed is acting in haste for whatever reason, and it's the perfect conditions. They can do it. Ben doesn't want to do it. Susan doesn't manipulate him, but she, like, pushes back on him, and then he agrees to do it. It's not her fault. It's not Reed's fault. It's not Ben's fault. Like, it's, they all share responsibility. Johnny really is the most, like, innocent bystander type of person in this situation. But it's really interesting because it feels like it's such a quick comic, and, like, stuff just happens, and, like, kind of the art, it just, like, randomly, like, okay, so we're going along the story, then boom, okay, now we're going to tell the story, and boom, now they're going on this adventure, they're on the island, how did they get there, what do we know about the island? Nothing. Boom, they're crashing into the, you know, there's a monster, that monster fight is over, they fall down, they're captured, they're in these weird suits, the mole man talks to them, he exposits with them, he fights a little bit, and then, you know, we cut, and then Ben is stripping down out of his suit, which he uses to cover himself on the island for some reason when there's no people around, so it shouldn't matter, maybe from the private airport, but you'd think he'd get off on the airplane, he'd change his clothes in the airplane as they were approaching or whatever, but he doesn't. It's just odd choices, but, like, it's still really dynamic looking and cool and interesting, and, like, he saves Sue, and then they go to save the guys, and it's just, like, zany and crazy and really cool, and, like, a lot of fun, and this, like, there's, like, this very interesting dynamic between all of them, and yet it all comes across in so few words and in such little action, and, like, I already feel like I get the dynamic, or I get the gist of the dynamic between all these characters, and I liked the zany adventure they went on, and it was, I mean, it wasn't zany, it wasn't silly, it was cool. Like, the Mole Man wants to take all the nuclear weapons or the nuclear power plants away from the surface world before he attacks them, because if they don't have nukes, then they can't do anything. And, like, Johnny's afraid that a nuclear warhead got shot at him, which apparently it did. I don't know how he was able to identify that by eye, but he's just like a car mechanic, you know? But he identifies it somehow, and then somehow Reed catches that and throws it in the ocean, and it explodes safely in the ocean, even though it probably, like, I think Lee changed it to be a nuclear warhead, and I think he changed it to exploding over the ocean, because the way Kirby drew it, it looked like it had just got thrown into the ocean and splashed up, and there was no way it needed to be a nuclear warhead, because that's ridiculous. It would have killed all those people in Central City, which will eventually get turned into New York City, I'm sure. Anyway, I had a blast with it. It was a lot of fun. I'm going to check out more Fantastic Four, and I invite you to join me in checking it out as well, and leave some comments for me. Let me know what you thought about this. Unless you're a commie. Thank you so much for your time and attention. You can find all my work at mjmunoz.com. Everything I do is cataloged over there. I'm writing, I'm reading, I'm analyzing stuff. I'm talking about things beyond comic books and manga. I'm talking about tokusatsu. I'm talking about my own books. I'm talking about classic and modern children's literature, middle grade novels, and I'm doing a whole bunch of stuff over there. You can go, basically there's something new for you to check out every single day, and you can enjoy it, and you can also be subscribed there, and subscribe to me everywhere. Like my stuff, share my stuff, tell others about it, help me grow my channel, help me grow my platform out here in the world where I'm trying to talk about stories that I value and write stories that people will value as well.